Falcons fans, welcome back. It's another edition of the FalconCast podcast here on AtlantaFalcons.com. I am one of your hosts, Jay Adams. Joining me as always, Daniel Cox, who is currently looking on Twitter for what?
I just threw it out there that perhaps we can, get some suggestions. Just let everyone know that we were starting the podcast. And
great. I love fan suggestions. We'll get to that.
All right.
We'll get to that. But we're always on the Twitter, so, you can make sure you follow us.
Yes.
Because that would be awesome. Because we like talking to you. So, the Falcons coming off the, 27-16 loss. The reason I have to ask that question is because it's preseason.
Yeah, I have to double check multiple
scores
times.
Scores don't count to me.
Yeah.
In the preseason. That's why I asked, but I guess it was 27-16. Falcons fell to the Tennessee Titans up at LP Field in Nashville, and it was that third preseason game, what is widely considered the most important of the four preseason games. And we've got some impressions from that game,
mm-hmm.
haven't we?
We do.
Well, where should we start?
Let's get the stuff that maybe wasn't so pleasant.
Okay.
Let's get that out of the way.
All right.
It's like,
So, yeah, I mean, look, there were a couple of things certainly that, if you're a fan, and we've heard it all the past 2 days, actually.
Absolutely.
The past 3 days. Again, we're recording this on Monday, and you're hearing it on a Wednesday, so pardon us if we get our days mixed up here, but... we've heard it for a couple of days now, just all the concerns coming out of that game. And there is what I would consider to be some panic out there, as we have seen in previous preseasons
mm-hmm.
since we've both been here. I find most of that panic to be completely unwarranted. I think we all need to take a deep breath and chill. And I'll tell you why. Because... certainly the third preseason game is when you see your starters play for the longest period of time and you do a little bit of game planning. Now, what you actually see on the field is merely a fraction of the actual playbook.
Yeah.
Merely a fraction. And if I hold my fingers out to show you how much of a fraction it is,
I don't know
that I could slide a business card between my fingers. Like, that's how much of the playbook that you see. So as far as the offense goes, you see that much of the playbook plus no Roddy White.
Yeah.
I don't know that it gives you a complete accurate assessment of what you can expect week one from the Falcons. In fact, I'll go so far as to say it doesn't.
Yeah.
But I think from the aspect of pass protection, run blocking, I think you can get a good sense of where, the offensive line's at. I think from the defensive side of the ball, I think you can get a pretty good assessment of where certain players are in their progression.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we saw that a little bit.
Absolutely.
But, I don't know that I would go so far as to say that game gave us a really, really good look at the Falcons as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say that it gave us a look at a couple of different areas. But I think if you are out there wondering if you need to be stepping up to the ledge, please step back.
Yeah.
Because there is really no reason to panic right now.
If you're stepping up to the ledge today, that means you've been to this ledge before.
Yes.
In the past preseasons.
Step away from the ledge.
Yeah, so maybe you remind yourself of what things look like. And the past is not always a predictor of what will happen in the future.
No,
but
let's not forget the Falcons' preseason history here over the past couple of years.
That's where I was going. Yeah,
go for it.
Absolutely.
For
last season, it was a similar thing. There were breakdowns. There were things that we were highly concerned about. And I think what we've seen from the Falcons, especially the coaching staff, is – even like in regular seasons past, an ability to realize certain issues or breakdowns that are going on and work to fix them.
Yeah.
So I think in some ways, like the preseason is like a setup for the players. It's like,
yeah.
the coaches are going to – we're going to set you guys up in maybe some really bad situations and see how you respond to it.
Of course. Of course. And that's why I think that you can learn just as much from a loss or just as much from having a bad game as you can a good game. Because the losses and the bad individual games that you play often teach you the most valuable lessons.
Absolutely.
That you carry on. And so if you ask me how concerned I am on a scale from 1 to 10, I'm going to say 0.5, mm-hmm. because I'm just really not all that concerned right now. You know, let's get to week one.
Yeah.
Let's get to week two. Let's see how they do in the regular season. Then you assess it from there. But honestly, I'm encouraged by how well the offense did move. I think, you know, the player said this afterward, is you've got to work on your red zone efficiency. The Falcons settle for field goals instead of touchdowns, and we've seen that in the regular season in the past from this team. And so, especially now with Steven Jackson in the mix, with Tony coming back, I mean, there is so much pressure on this offense to score touchdowns every time it goes down the field, and I think they were a little disappointed in that. And so you're going to see – I think as far as practice goes, what we're going to see is that, you know, there's going to be some emphasis on those red zone periods. And they do a lot of red zone practice as it is.
Yeah.
But I think you're going to see a heightened level of emphasis on that as well as the team moves forward. Because really, you know, we're sitting here again Monday morning recording this. And right now we don't know how much the starters will play come Thursday, maybe Wednesday. When you're listening to this, you'll have a better idea, or we'll have a better idea of what that is. But traditionally, starters don't play a whole heck of a lot.
Traditionally,
in the fourth preseason game.
But
it's happened before. And I commented to you earlier, it wouldn't surprise me to see, you know, some of the starters out there for one or two series on Thursday night against Jacksonville. But we'll see. It remains to be seen. But you know, let's move on to some positive stuff.
Okay.
Let's talk about some positive stuff.
Some positives.
What stood out to you from a positive level from Saturday night's game?
Steven Jackson.
Yes.
Right off the top.
Agreed.
I mean, well, Steven Jackson and Julio Jones even. But Steven Jackson is the new guy in the offense. Mm-hmm. And you can see, first of all, Steven Jackson still got it. So let's just clear that up.
Oh, yeah. He's got it.
So he looked impressive, about 50 yards and you know a quarter, two quarters, and maybe a quarter of a quarter of work. If you followed that, good job. But he looked fantastic, running the ball, catching ball in the backfield. I thought he had some good blocking in front of him. I also thought maybe there was some times when he didn't, but he still managed to create positive yards, and he ended up with like 4.2 yards a carry. And I've been saying this, you know, since April or May, whenever it was we brought him in, that, you know, if the Falcons can get 4+ yards a carry out of Steven Jackson, then he's fulfilled his end of the deal.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, another part of that is the return of Brady Ewing. And I think Brady Ewing in his first game back since injuring his knee last preseason and missing all of last season, did a heck of a job.
Yeah.
If you go back and watch how he did, I mean, just really good in pass blocking, really good in run blocking, and it looks like he was able to open some lanes there for Steven to run. So I completely agree with you there. I think one of my bright spots is, one of them is Joplo Bartu, and the fact that, you know, we talked about it all week, and especially you, just about how he was running with, he was getting first team reps in practice, and sure enough, in that first quarter, we see him get in there with the first teamers, and I thought he did just a fantastic job. I want to say, and I can look this up here as I go, but let's see. I'm looking for defensive statistics.
I think it was
let's
like
see.
Three tackles he ended
four
with.
Total tackles, four. One forced fumble.
Yeah.
So pretty good night for the rookie undrafted. Undrafted guy, and so you know, I thought he was a real big bright spot. But I've said this before on the podcast, and I continue to say this: you're going to see his impact much more in coverage. And I think if you watched him, okay, if you go back and you watch that game, you know, keep an eye on him, because he's really good in tight end coverage. And there were a couple of instances there where I watched him and I'm like, wow, okay, you know, maybe that's not a coverage we would have had a year ago. And I think that's really where his value comes in. And I actually spoke to him after the game and I asked him that question. I said, you know, I see that you end up in really good position on coverages. And I'm just wondering, is there something in your background or anything like that? And he's like, yeah, actually, when I started as a freshman at Texas State, he started out as a free safety. So that's where that comes from.
That guy has played all level.
Every single level of the defense.
Because I was just sitting here as you were saying it, I'm thinking, how does a guy that used to play defensive end get, you know, develop a talent like that to coverage on the move?
Yeah, and that's how. He started out as a free safety. So
Caucus J. Adams dropping knowledge right there.
Knowledge.
That is impressive.
Dropping
that's
bombs
a great little
here.
Little nugget of information.
But, I mean, keep an eye on him. And you can see that skill set that he picked up when he played free safety, like, really come through when it comes to guarding against tight ends. So, you know, I really think that's where his value is, and I think he was a really major bright spot for the Falcons. The other one I want to talk about briefly here is, you know, there's always that one guy who maybe like the second or third preseason game, he shows up and he's like, oh, where have you been? You know? And I'm going to say this kid, Darius Johnson, the wide receiver, is, I mean, look, he was in there probably the fourth quarter, maybe. I'd have to check back and see how many snaps he actually got. But, I mean, he had a heck of a night in just about what I would consider about a quarter's worth of work. I mean, he finished as a second leading receiver. He had 4 receptions for 62 yards and a long of 41. Quick kid.
Yeah.
Small. He's out of Southern Methodist. But, you know, kind of a speedster kind of kid. I don't know. What are your impressions of his work?
I didn't get a chance to double check. It's the preseason, so, and this is the last week, so we're not taking it easy, but.
Daniel's saying we're mailing it in.
No, that is not true.
We're mailing it in.
That is not true, but I think he's the leading receiver for the Falcons in the preseason.
Interesting.
I think. I need to double-check that, but this is not...
You do, because that's a strong claim.
He's put together some games here. You know what? Like, he... And you say that he... You know, there's always a guy that's like... That comes out, and you're kind of saying, where have you been? Because you're like the story of the Paul Worrelo. You know, we love that story, but he showed up week one, and he was here. Darius Johnson, he had a really nice night. Like that 42-yard catch.
Just a nice run off of that.
Mm-hmm.
Showed a lot of speed.
Definitely. Definitely. He's – maybe we got another little diamond in the rough there. This is a guy that maybe he hits the practice squad, you know, like a Drew Davis, Kevin Cone kind of guy. Like he takes that route.
Well, but he was another guy that I noticed last week, quietly. Nobody really notices it. But he was another guy who was getting some first-team reps.
Yes.
He was catching passes from Matt Ryan in practice last week.
Yeah.
So that immediately, to me, was like, okay, we need to keep an eye on this kid.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think there's an open spot there. I really do. And I think when you look at, okay, today, Monday, the Falcons let go of Marcus Jackson. Wide receiver who they kept on the they got rid of 3 wide receivers. They got rid of Sales, Evans, and Jackson. 3 guys who, you know, well, one of them, he was on the practice squad last year, Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
You thought that maybe he was going to develop. I don't know what their reasons for waiving him were, but, you know, you've got to figure, you get rid of 3 wide receivers. I mean, that's a pretty strong statement. Now, you were crowded at that position anyways.
Right.
But I think there's some really viable guys that you really want to take a look at. Okay, Johnson being one of them. I think you want to give James Rogers another look.
Mm-hmm.
And so you've got the situation where I think your top four are locked up. Obviously with Roddy, Julio, Harry, and then probably Drew Davis.
Mm-hmm.
But your fifth spot is potentially open, and you've got Kevin Cone there. You've got James Rogers there. You've got Darius Johnson there, who's trying to make a case for himself.
Mm-hmm.
So this week, I think, really serves those 3 wide receivers in particular.
Yeah.
serves to kind of give that final look at what these guys can do.
Yeah, and that's the interesting thing about this week. You know, for the guys that, you know, the people that love the games and, you know, when the starters play, and everyone does, but I think if you, like, really follow the team closely and you really enjoy, like, looking at the roster from, you know, all angles, top to bottom, bottom to top, and you enjoy a week like this because you're going to see so many young guys playing. And jobs are won. There's going to be guys that come out of Thursday night's game with, you know, with a much better chance to win a job than maybe they did when it started. I can think back a couple years ago when Anton Smith started to solidify his place in the roster a couple of seasons ago, and it came on a week four preseason game. He looked good running the ball, and he was good on special teams, and that was something that kind of solidified that for him. So that's kind of the interesting thing about Thursday's game is some of these guys that are going to win some of those final spots. You know, so that's what I love about the games. I mean, you know, and afterwards, those guys that had good games, usually, like, you can tell they know they had a good game, and their chances may have improved, and they feel good about that.
Yeah, and I think, like, you can get through your first 3 weeks. If you've made it past this round of cuts, I think it's fair to say that the coaching staff wants you to have another look.
Yes,
and really, we talk about the third preseason game being so important, and it is. But the fourth one is just as important, especially for these young guys who are potentially going to make the roster. And I think that we're in a situation where you could potentially see the Falcons pull a handful of undrafted guys, maybe even to the active roster.
Yeah.
I mean, who knows? But I think your top three candidates for making the active roster right now are Paul Warlow, Joplo Bartu, and Ryan Schrader.
Yes.
Because I don't think that you have guys who vie for starting positions and battle for starting positions and then you cut them. I just don't see that happening. Mm-hmm. So if I'm going to put money down, I'm going to say those three guys end up making the active roster. But, you know, you could see a potential where maybe a Darius Johnson comes out of nowhere and he seals up his spot. Or, you know, you've got some of these other guys who end up filling out practice squad roles. So I'm really interested to see in this fourth preseason game who steps up. Because if you're one of these guys who's on the bubble, mm-hmm. I mean, this is your last chance.
Yeah.
Your last chance, period. And not only that game, but I'm saying Monday's practice, Tuesday's practice. Like, you need to be sharp. You need to be on your game because – everything obviously is being evaluated, but I think at this point, your chances of showing out are getting smaller.
Yeah.
Your window is getting real small. All right, so you need to show out. You need to show up. And I think the right guys who have that attitude are going to show up on Thursday night and really kind of show this coaching staff. What you want to do is you want to make this a tough decision for them.
Yeah.
And I think there's enough guys out there right now who have shown enough in the preseason up to this point already that it's going to kind of induce some very difficult decisions, but
absolutely.
I think Thursday night can serve to go a long way towards kind of making that numbers game a little bit more difficult for the coaching staff.
You talk about the, you know, the window closing and the time, you know, the opportunity, and you know, we talk about Thursday's game, but it's the entire body of work.
Sure.
You know, of preseason, and that's not just games, that's practices, but that just kind of just that reinforces the statement that you said about guys like Bartu and Schrader, because they do have that body of work.
Yeah.
You know, and they just kind of got to go out there one more time and just, you know, put that same kind of effort together. I think you're right on the money. I at this point, I'd be a little surprised if we don't see at least two of those guys.
Yeah.
Of those three making the 53-man.
Yeah. It's a weird year for that kind of stuff. And I think that's a credit to the work that Thomas Dimitroff and his scouting staff do during the college football season and which is going on right now. I mean, those guys are working towards next year's draft right
now.
And they're targeting these guys. And obviously these guys that we brought in, the Warlows, the Bartus, the Schraders, I mean, these are guys that scouting staff have targeted as guys that we need to take a look at. Well, look what it's turning into. You've got some guys that are pushing some veterans for spots on this roster. And I think any time that you can get some real value out of your undrafted guys, I mean,
yeah,
it's amazing. It's absolutely. It goes a long way. And so I'm really looking forward to next week's cuts, which have to be in by August 31st, to get down to 53 players. So you've got 22 guys that you've got to let go of. And then from there, you can, once you let go of those guys, you can build an 8-man practice squad. So you've ultimately got 61 guys that are going to still be here when the Falcons get ready to take on the Saints, and they'll start their preparations on Monday, if you can believe that.
Isn't that crazy?
And so, you know, you're coming down to it. This is the week. This is it.
Yeah.
So a lot of difficult moves left to go. So I'm going to throw a little curveball here.
Okay.
And I'm going to say, all right, give me one thing you're looking for from Thursday night's game, and I can go first if you need a minute to think about it.
Can go first.
I'm going to say the one thing that I'm looking for is, I think, you know, we've heard this truly inspirational story about Brian Banks coming from a situation that very few of us can even fathom, let alone relate to, and that is being charged and convicted for a crime he didn't commit, and then spending 10 years of his life battling for an exoneration that he ended up getting. And you know, we've watched him since we signed him in March, and this is the crucial week for him, and we keep talking about how crucial this week is for some of these guys. I think it's no more crucial than for a guy like Brian Banks, because you know, you've seen a little bit of work. He got some work in the first preseason game. He got a little bit of work in the third preseason game. I think you're going to see him get a lot of work on Thursday night against Jacksonville, and that's going to be his chance to really show that he deserves some kind of spot here, whether it's on the practice squad or whether it's on the 53-man roster. But I think what you have to realize right now is that no matter what happens going through, and this has been a phenomenal story, you know, no matter what happens with Brian from here on, the fact that he made it this far is truly inspirational. It is truly amazing. I feel so honored to have been witness to it and been able to watch him achieve a goal that, you know, probably 3 years ago seemed so far out of the realm of possibility. And I think if you want to look at a guy, a true role model, and somebody who has faced probably some of the most insurmountable odds and faced some of the biggest injustice that I think you can see, for a guy like that to come and not be angry and not be upset or bitter or anything like that is truly inspirational. And I think he's a great example of both on the field and off the field, and just his drive and determination. But sorry to go off on the you know, he's my guy. I'm going to keep a very strong eye on him on Thursday night. I think it could be special.
And I would really like to just say, along with that, you know, and I'll keep it short, but Banks, regardless of whatever happens, whether he makes his team, whether he makes the practice squad, whether he goes on to another team, no matter what, I think that Brian Banks is destined to go on and do probably so much more bigger things than just playing football. He's just one of those people that's going to have a life that is of influence to a lot of people. But you're right. It's been an honor just to be around that guy and, you know, talk to him and help share his story a little bit. So, it's always fun to talk to him. But I look forward to watching him just run out there and just run around. But for me, one guy I'm looking forward to seeing, Robert Alford. He's one of my favorite rookies, one of the guys I've enjoyed watching play. You know, and he had a tough night the other night. He was on the wrong end of some big pass plays, and he kind of got thrust in there a little bit, and Coach Smith said as much afterwards. He really had a trial by fire kind of thing. And I wrote about this, it's on the website on Monday morning, that he definitely showed that short memory. He came back. He got an interception later in the game. He has 5 pass deflections in the preseason. He's been you know, a nice work in progress through this whole season, preseason, and we've seen him improve. And I wrote about it in the article. And we think back to the beginning of training camp, and the stories we heard every day of Robert Alford's getting burned again. You know, Desmond Trufant's getting taught the business by Julio Jones. You know, but. And those guys kept coming back for more, and they improved from that. And I think he's going to improve from the night he had Thursday or last week. And I look forward to just seeing what he puts out there on the field, because he's probably going to be one of those guys that gets a lot of time, or at least, you know, some decent amount of snaps, because I think they'd like to see how he bounces back from that. And I'm really curious to see what he does, and wouldn't be surprised to see another pick.
I wouldn't either. And you know, what's funny is that, just going off of that, he showed a lot Saturday night that you and I have been talking about for weeks. And mm-hmm. I don't mean to pat ourselves on
hey,
the back.
We'll take it where
bit,
we can get it.
Yeah, exactly. But, I mean, look, I've been saying that this is a kid who he's going to learn the hard way about what's a flag and what's not. Mm-hmm. And what did we see? We saw he got called for a couple of things on Saturday night. That's a learning process.
Yeah.
It's nothing to get crazy concerned about. It's okay, now he knows what constitutes pass interference and what doesn't. And I think those are the types of things that you know, he needs to learn. And he did get, as Coach Smith called it, a baptism under fire.
Yeah.
And he – I thought for a kid who, you know, had a night like he did, he bounced back really well, like mm-hmm. you said. And he came back.
He kept himself in the game, you know.
That interception is
he didn't check out.
Was all on him.
Yeah,
I think he had a great read on that particular route, knew exactly what was coming, and stepped up and made the pick. But I'm excited by this kid. I think the ceiling, and I said this, you know, on Twitter that night, is that regardless of what happened that night, the ceiling for this kid is extremely high. And I love his potential, and I don't think anything's going to change that at the moment, because I think he has a chance to be a real special player here in future years. It's just he's got to develop.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah, it's like any job. You know, it's if you've never done it before, or you're new to it. You sometimes have to, you know, get that on the job training. You make that mistake, say, okay, well, I can't quite do it that just like that, because that's going to get me in trouble. So I gotta adjust and do this a different way. You know, so.
It's all about adjusting. We adjust all the time on the Falcons.
Yes, we do, man.
Falcon Cast podcast.
Absolutely,
don't we?
Absolutely. Adjusting every day.
Adjust every single day. Well, I'm looking forward to this this preseason game. Nothing more.
Home game.
A home game, which is nice.
Yes.
But if nothing more than the end of it signifies the beginning of the regular season.
Yeah.
And that's certainly something to be excited about. So we're coming down to it, and it's going to be. It's going to be exciting, because in a week from now, we are going to be focused on the New Orleans Saints.
New Orleans Saints.
I don't know if you've heard of them.
Yeah, just, you know.
Pretty big rivalry.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, you know, they're not exactly best friends with this organization.
No,
so
no. There's,
no BFFs
blood.
Around here.
Nope.
When it comes to the Saints.
Not at all. So that'll be exciting to talk about next week, as we also will know what the 53-man roster looks like a week from now. So, lots to talk about next week, but thank you so much for joining us this week on the Falcon Cast podcast. We'll be back next week at our regular – we'll try to get a regularly scheduled
There's
time.
There's a regularly scheduled time.
Now that we will have a regular season schedule to go off of. But we appreciate you hanging in there with us and kind of getting through the weird preseason schedule. But – thanks again for joining us, and we will talk to you next week.